Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Chew, I don't know if you know this, but our guy Joshy, he likes to make a declaration each and every year when winter is officially over. Now, sometimes he gets out ahead of his skis and it's a little too soon, you know, but he likes to get out ahead of it. He hasn't made a declaration this year. And I thought about that because as we walk down here to start the show, we've got a newer member of our team. You met her when you were here in Milwaukee. Ellie, she's been helping out with us, doing some great social media stuff. And she declared that, like, she's just ready for the warm weather. She's not wearing a jacket. So, Josh, with that, were you inspired at all to make a declaration yourself? Is winter officially over?
Frankly, I've been slacking. I think any time a tornado warning happens, that means winter's officially over. There will be cold moments. Famously, I made the declaration of summer over and then winter's over, and then we got hit with a blizzard within like 6 days.
Sure.
I've gotten a little case of the yips, but now that we're in the middle to this latter half of April, mm-hmm. I feel like it's too late to make a deck. I missed my opportunity.
You missed your opportunity. Yeah. You missed the window.
Yes.
So what you're saying is you choked this year.
I did choke. No.
Because you're still going to get, you won't have accumulating snow, but you're still going to get snowflakes. And no, winter is not over. That's why I push back we usually come home around the 15th. We pushed it back. May sucks. May sucks. And half of June sucks.
Half of June?
Do you think there will be snowflakes in Milwaukee?
No.
No. I think we're done with that.
I was just watching the news because of my $17 service, I can watch the news back in Milwaukee, and there were snowflakes like up in Appleton.
That's Appleton.
Yeah, am I Appleton?
Yeah.
Well, then what's your
No offense. No offense to the fine folks in Appleton. Yeah,
lovely people, I'm sure.
I don't care what the weather's like up there.
Yeah. No.
If okay. I live in Milwaukee.
Well, Gabe, we learned one thing.
Okay.
Ellie's tougher than Josh.
What?
Because Josh is all bundled up. Looked like you're going to go chop down some trees.
I dress like this throughout the summer.
Yeah, this is just the way Josh dresses.
Yeah.
So what's your criteria? That's it?
I mean, I don't know if Josh has criteria.
No, it's a feel.
Yeah.
It's a vibe.
And, it is?
Which yeah. I think you would respect.
Which usually what ends up happening, and let's be fully honest about it, is this happens usually late March into April, where there's an extremely nice day and the entire city lights up and everybody's out day drinking, having a good time. That's usually when the declaration comes. And I missed my opportunity this time. The weird thing that's happened...
Because we definitely had that.
Yeah. But the weird thing that's happened is all the nice days are during the week. And then the weekend gets a little cold and not cold. I mean, it's 50s. It's
yeah.
Let's be. But like, if I were to have a big Saturday and, you know, you go golfing, then you meet people out and you turn it into a full day and it's like 70 and there's people in shorts, that's usually when the declarations happen.
So, okay, for example, Chew, today it's supposed to get up to 70, which
I saw that.
You know, so again, tomorrow's 57, but Thursday, Friday, 71, 67. The weekend, Saturday is 57, Sunday's 55. So to Josh's point,
right.
It feels like that's been a cycle we've
yes.
been on where it's so much nicer during the week, and then you just gotta, you know, lock it down
right.
and try to figure it out.
Are patios open?
I mean, they don't really
at
close.
Establishments?
If it's nice enough, yes.
Yeah.
Like if you walked around town today, I'm guessing you would find a couple people on some patios
yes.
around 3, 4, 5 o'clock.
Okay.
If you go to the patios for Saturday morning brunch, no, I don't think those patios are going to be open
no.
with a high of 57.
Like, Gabe, what's your number temperature-wise where you will not golf? Or are you just so insane it really doesn't matter?
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Like, for example, a group of guys that I usually play in, it's called the Kohler Challenge or the Kohler Cup. And they mm-hmm. do, you know, a 2-day weekend tournament, you know, every week. Usually they do it in the spring. They do it in the fall. and we had signed up for it, and we decided not to play. I think they canceled it because, like, all the rain we got, and then it was, like, cold and windy. It was just terrible weather. So I don't even think they opened the golf courses up in Kohler. So what we did instead is we went down to Illinois and played a couple of courses down in Illinois. So we went down on Saturday, went down on Sunday, still played. I mean, I was in, you know, I had a vest on the entire time, but
I mean, they're cutting grass back there.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, because again, during the week, too, it gets really nice. Yeah. It'll be 70 degrees today.
I think I have to mow the lawn this week. Yeah. Mine's getting out of control.
I mean, I would do it, you know, maybe on Friday there, pal.
Uh-huh.
Just because, you know, it's going to be a little chillier on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's so green. Like, with all the rain we got, everything is just insanely green.
Yeah,
insanely green.
Popping.
But I just wanted to give Joshie a chance to, you know, make a declaration if you wanted to today. Even though we're a little late.
Missed opportunity.
You got a lot going on.
I know. Tell me about it.
He's a busy guy. Meanwhile, coming into the draft here, Chu, Mike Clay, who works for ESPN, and we've used Mike Clay's rankings before. He likes to do this, especially with offensive line play. And I appreciate when people do this for offensive line play because, you know, with wide receivers, you like to talk about statistics, right? Oh, 85 catches, 1,000 yards. You know, like we know the benchmarks for all these different positions. Double-digit sacks. You know, you got a couple of interceptions, pass breakups. Like every other position, there are stats usually associated with it. That's not true of offensive linemen. So he put out the projected offensive line starters across the league. And he has his grading system, his rating system is attached to all these players. Where do you think the Green Bay Packers rank in terms of offensive line, projected starter offensive line in the NFL right now?
For last year or this upcoming year?
This upcoming year. So the five starters are Jordan Morgan at left tackle, Aaron Banks at left guard, Sean Ryan at center, Anthony Belton at right guard, Zach Tom at right tackle. So this is all the project, and he did this across the league.
Just based on that was minus Rashid, their O-line last year towards the end, and they weren't great. I would say 18.
Keep going.
No way.
The 18th team is, well, Vegas is 19. 18 is the New York Jets.
25?
Getting closer.
Not far than that. All right. So then that leads me to question who this guy is. Did he ever play? Did he ever coach?
No, but I mean... But again, he's just basing it off of the play that they've put on tape, and he's got his own rating system. I'd look at him like a scout.
Okay. All right. That's fine. I think it's ridiculous.
27th.
I wouldn't go there. I mean, they have question marks. They have question marks, you know, Zach Tom.
And he's the only one.
From his surgery.
He's the only one who has the way he's got it, the way he does his grading system, so Zach Tom has a 7.4, which may mean nothing to people, right? So he's got different shades of colors next to them. So like 7.4, it's not the darkest shade of green, but a pretty dark shade of green, right? Pretty darn good player. Everybody else is in the red. Which is why they rank 27th.
I mean, the sample size for Belton, not long enough. More, you know, Jordan.
But again,
Morgan,
but the tape is what the tape is, right? Like,
no,
not necessarily projecting.
It's just like sometimes I'll read or whatever, see, and they're blaming X or someone when it comes to receiving core or something like that. These guys don't know the progression. They don't. And you don't know what they're being coached or being taught. You can kind of figure it out. But
And that's part of football, right?
I think 27
right?
Like is ridiculous. Aaron Banks, the only thing with Aaron Banks is he's hurt, right?
But if he's not good, Chew, and he's constantly being put out there, then he's not good. Like, I don't think just give anybody the benefit of the doubt just because you want to give them the benefit of the doubt. It's what do you put on tape? And this offensive line right now is not very good.
Well, I think there's more question marks than not very good, you know? I mean, Sean Ryan. It was an upgrade from Elton Jenkins. I don't know what that means. But he's better, and he's only going to get better with the amount of snaps he plays. Belton towards the end of the year was fine. He's only a second-year player. Or was he a rookie?
Anthony Belton was a rookie.
He will get better. Morgan is a question mark. We think he'll be fine. We think he'll be equivalent to Rasheed Walker at
worst. I think
worst,
he's going
to
be better.
But that's a question mark.
He's going to be better than Sheed. I feel pretty confident in that.
But that's, you know, that's why I don't put a lot of credence
I'm just curious. I've never seen you stand for a player the way you do Rasheed Walker. I don't get it.
Well, but
how did Rasheed Walker become your guy?
Based upon what Williams got in San Francisco yesterday.
Yeah.
I think they're crazy. Rasheed, and I played with guys like that.
I mean,
they're
Williams
not Pro Bowl players, but they're
famer.
Good enough to get it done. Huh?
Trent Williams is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but he is old.
Yeah.
But he's still really good.
Probably four times as good as Rasheed Walker.
What did he get? I know he got a 37. It was a $50 million, 37 guaranteed.
2 years.
He's got to be. How old?
He's old.
Yeah, 37?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 37 years old. He will be turning 30. He'll turn 38 before the season.
Would I rather have him at $25 million a year or Rasheed Walker at 10? I'm taking Walker. I'm sorry. I'm just taking him. Gabe, we got it done with no knock. I love him. What's up, dog? Love him like a brother. But Bruce was limited in what we could do. And you know what we did that year? Crazy. You know what we did? We won the freaking Super Bowl.
You know what the Niners aren't? Limited by their left tackle.
Well, all right. This is a fair question for both of you.
Gotcha. Oh, boy.
Pen slam.
No, he was. I think he was trying to get a fly. And he had the pen in his hand. So he was like holding the pen, and he clapped his hands to get the fly. And when he clapped his hands, the pen went flying.
See, I still got it. I'm still quick as a cat.
So you didn't get the fly, though.
So if you're saying, both of you guys, if you're saying, why am I so in love with Rasheed Walker?
Yeah.
Why don't you guys like him at all?
Well, it's not that I don't like him. It's that the Packers constantly tried to replace him. Probably would have replaced him if not for some injuries elsewhere on the offensive line. I think Jordan Morgan would have been left tackle this year had it been a true competition over at the left side. And then the league told you what they thought about him.
I think he's a replacement level player. He's fine.
You don't think he's a starter?
I mean, how many starting left tackles are there in the NFL?
I mean,
he's probably towards the bottom of the list of starting.
His Pro Football Focus numbers were not horrible. They were acceptable.
There we go. Took you a while to find the word. They were.
I got it.
Took you a second. And that's the issue, right? Like, I think you can be better at that position.
Yeah, I've done vendetta
like
against
Rasheed. You cannot pay everyone buku money.
Well, yeah, but if you're good enough, they will pay you buku money. Which is why I'm fine with moving on from Rasheed Walker, because I think he's a replacement level guy. Like, I don't think he was a guy that was worth paying.
Sometimes I don't understand Goody. Not that Goody's a bad GM. It's just I don't agree with his philosophy a lot of times on how he does things. And I don't know. You know, you talk about players peaking out, mm-hmm. right? And we know what they are. I think I'm getting to that point with Goody. I kind of know what you are. You're good. You're not great.
Well, but
and I don't know if that's acceptable in the world of GMs. I don't know if that's going to get you to the place you want to be, but it's like I kind of know what you are. I just don't understand him. If you're a draft and develop, he's like pivoted like three times.
See,
in his tenure,
I don't think he has. Like who's somebody that you think they should have signed in the last handful of years that they're regretting walk away?
Rasheed Walker.
Thanks, Jesus.
It's your fault, Gabe.
But
why'd you ask that? Well, the most obvious answer of all time.
See, I'm going to tell you this right now, and I said it. You guys, you know I said this. I think Quay Walker was always played out of position. When they moved him to Mike, I'm like, he is not a Mike linebacker.
Oh, yeah.
He's a weak linebacker that wants to run, and I think he is going to thrive with the Raiders.
Well, you know who agrees with you?
The Raiders.
Quay Walker. Quay Walker agrees with you that he was playing out of position, which is fine, right? Like, they played him out of position, you know, but, again, there were multiple defensive coordinators who insisted on putting him there, and if we really like Jeff Hafley, I think we have to trust Jeff Hafley to an extent. And at the end of the day, I don't think the Packers want to pay that kind of money to somebody who would have to play inside anyway because they just switched to a 3-4.
Yeah, I love Jeff. Jeff, you didn't play football. Sorry. You didn't. And I played against a great – that had the same body type, the same skills in Derek Brooks with Tampa Bay. Big guy, weak side linebacker, run like a deer, smart, instinctive. Didn't have to think a lot because as that weak side spot, all you do is run.
Yeah, it's more instinctive. Yeah, when we would watch film, I mean, I think that was one of your criticisms of Quay is there was a lot of guessing, right? And when he would guess right.
And remember, Gabe, he would always like to take a side.
Yeah.
Well, you can't take a side as a Mike linebacker because the back is just going to cut and you're actually helping the lineman out.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes he would guess right and he'd be great. And most of the time he'd kind of guess wrong.
Yeah.
And what you just said happened would happen.
That's one guy.
You just compared Quay Walker to a DPOY and four-time All-Pro.
Yeah, he also compared Rasheed Walker to Trent Williams. So it's just what we're doing. We're comparing Packers guys to future Hall of Famers. And he was just being consistent, Josh.
I think there's probably a difference between those two guys.
Josh, where's the drop Chewy is right? Is that fallen to like
I played it yesterday.
We played
it. Like 28.
We played it yesterday.
We played it yesterday.
We did?
Yeah. I went on a whole soliloquy about how you were right, I was wrong. Josh played
about
it.
What? What were you wrong about?
The Giannis stuff. How you had seen it before did, comparing him to Rodgers and the Favre and doing
all
that.
I don't want credit for basketball. That doesn't really do much for me. I want credit for football and football only.
Come on, man.
And life.
Peggers can't be choosers.
Yeah.
Like, we played it for you. We have a drop saying, holy bleep, Chewy is right. And now you're going to complain when we use it?
I'm high maintenance.
I'm going to petition for Angie to be nominated for sainthood. Because you are something to work with. You know that?
Not after this morning.
What did you do?
Yeah. I didn't put gloves off cleaning the crab traps.
Oh,
and the problem is those barnacles have like a something in them where you have to then
clean them out
with rubbing alcohol, which hurt. And I was very teary. And she called me a potato, which I didn't really like. Even though it's probably true to some extent, I don't think you say that to your spouse.
I will tell you this. You don't say it to your spouse.
No.
I would not recommend it.
No.
I would not
recommend
it.
Even when we have potatoes, I don't call her a potato.
Oh, we've got to get some more Packers stuff coming up as Jason Wilde joins us next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros in Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. Joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing great. Doing well. How are you?
I'm just happy to be on the Yingling guest hotline,
Boy. What are you getting ready for in terms of the draft this week? What are you getting prepared for?
I'm packing my bag. I'm ready to go. Goody talks today at 11, so I'm going to leave poor Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day, in the incapable hands of Jesse Nelson for a little while. And I'm packing my bag because we've moved into new offices at Lambeau, and I have to start all over after 26 years with very strict rules about what I'm allowed to put in my office after having one of the best bobblehead collections in Lambeau Field history. So I'm packing lights, and that's what I'm getting ready for, is doing the show from there today and talking to Goody and figuring out, hey, how did you manage after going into last year's draft with corner as a question mark on your roster for it to still be a question mark? And how did you manage to put your offensive line in a spot where you're basically got no depth and you got some legit question marks about some of your starters? So that's kind of where I'm at.
Well, Jason, me and Gabe were just talking in the first segment. You know how we talk about players like Dobbs and like, all right, we know what he is after three years. Can we say the same for Goody? That he's good, but he's not great? Because I question a lot of the moves he makes, and I'm really not sold on his philosophy, kind of like, he's pivoted like two or three times. Can we say the same thing about front office people?
Welcome to the dark side. Yeah. I mean, there were times on our show where Tausch and Evan Cohen during his weekly visits were just, I mean, Evan was convinced that Goody was the best GM in all of football. Tausch was obviously, by his own admission, a Goody stan. And I'll give, you know, I think the world of Tausch, and I'm, you know, we're coming up on our 10th anniversary, and I don't brag about many things, but I continue to brag about Evan and Craig Karmazin coming to me toward the tail end of the Green and Gold Today era and asking me, hey, if you could do a show with anyone, who would you choose? Gabe, you're on the list further down. But I said Tausch. And
man, Chew, you were left off the list completely. That's tough.
Well, all right. First, by the way, in fairness to me, 10 years ago, who on earth would have thought that Mark Chmura would be doing a daily radio show? Still.
Oh, Jason, still. Jason,
you know how that came about, Jason? It didn't come about through me. It was
your wife didn't want you around.
It was. She called up Evan and said, can you get my husband out of the damn house, please? That's a true story. You ask Evan. And she told me, she's like, oh, you're doing a radio show from 7 to 9.
Well, we're all better for it, so tell her thank you for your service. Except maybe you. You might not be better for it, but the rest of us are. So I think the world of Tausch, and one of the things that he can be very stubborn. I mean, very stubborn. At the same time, when something happens that makes him pivot and change his mind, he does, and he's used the word soured on Goody. Now, I don't think he's, you know, a hack, right? Like, who's the guy with the Jets? Joe Douglas, who, you know, completely, I mean, that football team was ruined anyway, but he ruined it more. There's been a fair share of bad GMs in my time covering the league. Goody is not a bad, no one should say that he's a bad GM, but it's what you said. He's good, not great. And frankly, you know, and I get people ticked off at me for this too, but like, that's where Jordan Love is right now. Now, Jordan Love, I think, still has more time to continue to elevate his game, and he was phenomenal for most of that playoff game that they lost to the Bears. But he's good to very good, not great yet. Now, Goody, this is going to be draft number 9. And to your point, like, and Gabe's heard me say this a million times, but I just remember talking to him in 2023 and the two things that stick out. One, that 1.6 players per draft that you signed to a second contract, that's the league average, which then I said, yeah, but you guys are draft and develop. Most teams don't look at it as with as much austerity as you guys do. And he basically said, look, what I want to do is I want to draft guys. I want to play them right away. They're going to go through the growing pains. And then in the second half of the season, they're going to come out the other side and be good football players. And if you use 2023 as your basis for that, it worked, right? They didn't want a playoff game. But now it makes me think, to your point, Chewy, like, is he, and I guess I have to give him credit for considering the possibility that maybe he was wrong. You know, I asked him that question on February 4th or whatever it was about the line of demarcation at age 30, which there clearly was. No, I don't think there's any. But now, you know, he traded for Zaire Franklin. He signed Javon Hargrave. You know, the new corner, Benjamin St. Juste, he's going to be 29. Like, maybe he's starting to realize that there's value in veteran players. At the same time, he's also saying, the guys we want are ages 26 to 29. That's your prime. That's when you're your healthiest, and that's when you're best players. So it's almost as if he's, and I don't want to compare this to religion, but like, it's almost like he's had this introspection about his beliefs, and now mm-hmm. he's kind of second-guessing them a little bit. So you're right. I never thought he was a great GM. I thought there were a lot of people that said, well, he traded for Micah Parsons, and he drafted Jordan Love, and that makes him great. He's made some great picks. Every GM does. He's also made some terrible picks. Every mm-hmm. GM does that too. But one of the reasons why they've been so active in free agency on his watch is because of the misses he's had in the draft.
So Mike Clay put out his pre-NFL draft offensive line projected starters in rankings. I don't know if you've seen this, Jason. Care to take a guess at where the Packers land?
Like, compositely?
Yeah. So
like
he's
every
got
position.
So he's got, yes, he's got the five starters listed for every team, or the projected five starters as we sit here right now. And he's got, you know, grades associated with each player, and then that averages out to a different number. And yeah, so well, 1 through 32, he's got every team ranked on here.
Okay. They gotta be toward the bottom. 27.
27 is correct.
Shut nice. Up! I did not. Nice. Josh did not send that to me.
So 27 is correct, and look, I didn't think that this was like the Packers' offensive line would be in the top 10 when these rankings came out. I wasn't expecting 27, and I've been thinking, okay, they need more depth pieces. I kind of feel comfortable with who they have on the starters, you know, on the offensive line. Should I be comfortable with the starters they have on the offensive line if they're ranking 27th?
No, you shouldn't. And someone as smart as you, I'm a little surprised you're comfortable. By the way, can we just bask in the glow of the fact that I got that right? I still can't believe that happened.
You had a 1 in 32 chance, Jason.
So if we start at the left, well, yeah, but yeah, that's fair. Okay. I still am pretty proud of that. All right, so let's start at the left side, right?
Yeah.
Let's start with at left tackle, Jordan Morgan. We don't know what the hell he is. We don't, right? And you got mm-hmm. Goody at the NFL meetings admitting that they probably didn't do him any favors playing him at a variety of positions. Now, I would push back on that and say, dude, experience is experience, right? And, like, he's played a ton of football in 2 years. It wasn't at the position he wanted to play, right? But you've mm-hmm. still you've been in the arena as opposed to, like, and Chewy, you and I both love Marco Rivera, but, like, mm-hmm. his rookie year in 96 when he won the Super Bowl, he wasn't active for a single game.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. like, there's value in that. Now, there's also danger in it, right, if it damages his psyche and his confidence. But this is a guy who walked in the first day after the draft and said, I want to be the starting left tackle. And with the exception of that JV game in Minneapolis to end the regular season, he never was. Well, now you got what you wanted. So now you have to play at a really high level and protect the blind side of a guy who's trying to elevate to being at a great quarterback level, right? So, but we have no idea how he's going to fare. He did not play well in that Minnesota game. Left guard, I don't know what Aaron Banks is yet either. Like, was he bad at times last year because of his injuries? Is he, there's another guy who's going to, he's 29 years old. Like, he's on the top end of when Goody wants you on your team, on his team. And yet they've given him $43 million with his bonus last year and then the restructure this year. you better play like a guy who's worth $43 million.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Ryan has 9 career starts at center, and he was not graded high by Pro Football Focus, whether you believe those grades or not.
He was not graded high by Mike Clay either, by the way.
And then there you go. I figured he might have factored into that 27th spot, which I got right, by the way. At right guard, you got Anthony Belton, who I think played good football for a rookie. And I always use the Bakhtiariism when I was talking to him after his rookie season. I don't want to play well for a rookie. I want to play well, period. And he went on to do that. Is that going to happen with Belton? Maybe. We'll have to wait and see, right? He's a mountain of a man. He's got pretty decent feet, it would appear. And then we get the right tackle, and their best offensive lineman by far is Zach Tom. And I don't know about you, but I think I probably need to ask Goody today, hey, where is Zach Tom at exactly? Did he end up having surgery on his patellar tendon? Because that's one of the few people that did get an extension from this team. And this idea that there was a chance he might play last year when they were doing the, blood platelet centrifuging, whatever that's called, you don't play with a patellar tendon tear. So again, your best guy is also your most injured guy going into the season. I'm surprised they're as high as 27. There must be really bad offensive lines after that.
Jason. Yeah, the Houston Texans don't have anybody in the green, which is a good number,
right? And Chewy, before you say, don't forget your question. All right, focus.
I got it.
What are these teams doing? Like the Houston Texans are a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to. How are you that low on the scale of your offensive lines when you're the Packers and the Texans who have playoff / Super Bowl aspirations? They're obviously, their strategy is hope at this point. Sorry, Chu, go ahead.
Jason, Bo Melton signed sometime in the last couple of days. What position is he going to play this year?
Great question. They don't have enough corners, and they probably need him as their fifth or sixth receiver right now. So that is among my off-season. I usually do a list of story ideas right around the draft for when we eventually talk to players, which I saw there were a number of teams that made them available for the first day of workouts, but the Packers weren't among them. I don't know. I mean, at the end of the season
last
year.
Come on, Jason, you couldn't expect to talk to the players. You haven't talked to the defensive coordinator yet.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Sydney would tell me that I'm being rage baited right now. So I don't know the answer to that, Chu, but again, and I kind of made a joke about it earlier, like, what exactly have they done at corner? They've basically swapped out Nate Hobbs for Benjamin St. Juice, and I saw Keyshawn Nixon, I saw the picture on the website, because that's how we find out whether guys reported to the offseason program or not. He was there. He's going into the last year of his contract. He's CB1, whether you like it or not, as a Packers fan, and he's making $4.3 million this year. Like, there can't be a CB1 in the league that makes as little as he does. So I don't know what exactly the future holds for him or what their plan is, but I was writing my cornerback preview the other night, and I might as well just have copy and pasted it and just changed Nate Hobbs' name to Benjamin St. Juice. Like, Kamal Haddon is like their fourth corner, and he's recovering from a catastrophic leg injury, right? Bo Melton, he wasn't on the roster technically because he hadn't signed his tender, but they weren't playing him at corner last year. Like, by the end of the season, he was a wide receiver again. He wasn't even practicing at corner anymore. So, again, I'm not saying that they're a bad football team. I don't want to be misconstrued. But they are definitely not a deep football team. And right now, I don't have a whole lot of reason to be brimming with confidence that if they have injuries, not just to their great players like they had last year, but other injuries elsewhere on the roster, I don't have a lot of confidence in just what they would do to stay afloat.
Jason, could you see Nixon holding out?
Yeah, I have to be honest. I texted him yesterday to ask him if he reported because I thought he would. Not
but I mean the training camp, Jason. If that deal isn't
so, Right. So, no, great question, because I don't know what his strategy is, and he did not reply. Because here's the thing, like, last year, Elgton Jenkins was in a similar-ish position, right? He had 2 years left on his deal. He wanted the money that was existing to be guaranteed because he didn't trust the Packers to keep him, which, of course, that was he was well-founded in that opinion because that's exactly what they did. They did exactly what he thought they were going to do to him, right?
Yep.
So that's why he wanted, look, I don't want a single new dollar. I just want you to guarantee what I have. And they said, nope. So he skipped the offseason program, reported to the minicamp, didn't do anything, and then kind of slow played the start of his training camp. And what happened to him? He had a crummy season and he ended up getting hurt, right? So if I'm Keyshawn Nixon, they've kind of got me over a barrel where if I hold out, they're probably not going to do anything for me. And then all I'm doing is hurting my chances of playing at a high level so I can get paid by someone else if that's what I end up having to do. So, again, in that case, like, you know, you can either say that Goody's really good at his job by holding the line, or you can say that, you know, he's creating more guys that are disgruntled, which, as we learned a couple weeks ago, took a toll on our football team.
Jason, we always appreciate it. Look forward to hearing more from you on Wilde and Tausch with the Cousin Sub of the Day, Brian Bulaga, later today.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. If you've been putting off replacing your windows and doors, now's the time, because Pella of Wisconsin is offering 0% interest financing all the way until 2030. That's right, 0% interest until 2030. In Wisconsin, your home takes a beating year-round. Don't we know it? The right windows and doors can improve comfort, boost energy efficiency, and upgrade your home's look. All three of those things were true for me when I got my new front door for our house this past fall from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. The experts will help you find the perfect fit for your home and budget. They certainly helped me. Got a hidden screen door on that front door that I can't wait to continue to use this summer. And with 0% interest until 2030, you can upgrade now. Pay over time without paying a dime in interest. Don't wait. Visit PellaWI.com today.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right?
Yeah.
Kinda like a, ooh, like instead of a, huh.
Yeah. But that's all part of
you
taking the training law.
I do, but it's just such funny noises.
Did this get sexual or something? I don't know about it.
What the hell just happened?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Not gonna lie, I'm still a little shook by these offensive line rankings. Again, I didn't expect the Packers to be a top 10 offensive line, Chew, but I didn't expect them to be 27th. And maybe it was just me making excuses because, I mean, Aaron Banks played better in the second half of the season. I felt like Sean Ryan was playing better than Elgton Jenkins was. But, yeah, and then again, you start looking at the depth behind the offensive line. I came into this offseason thinking the offensive line was definitely going to be a need, but I thought more from depth pieces. Is it possible they draft an offensive lineman that can compete for one of these spots?
No. 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 They need a corner in... I look at it.
Well, but Chew, they have more than just the second round pick. You know, they could draft an offensive lineman in the fourth round that could come in and compete.
Yeah, but can he play though? I mean, that's a crapshoot. You know, that's a total crapshoot.
It's more than a crapshoot. It's better than a crapshoot.
I mean, you can put it this way, Gabe. You can't bank on that. You can bank on him for depth. You know, but to draft a old lineman in the fourth round and think he's going to start for you?
I'm saying I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility they draft one and somebody comes in and competes.
Now, I will say this.
A look at some of their fourth-round picks, and, I mean, they came in. So Evan Williams came in, competed right away in 2024. Baron Sorrell was injured all of last year. So, you know Colby Wooden was a rotational player on defense. Romeo Doubs came in, played right away. Zach Dom came in, played right away in 2022. Royce Newman was somebody who was competing for an offensive starting job from day one. You know, so they've had some fourth rounders that have competed and have been significant contributors to this team.
I'm not saying it can happen, Gabe. I'm just saying if they're banking on that, then they're crazy because it doesn't always work out that way. I think the 27th represents more uncertainty than it does the talent that's on the offensive line, because you would think that Morgan would be as good as Rashid. Banks, you would think, would...
is going to be healthier and better.
Hopefully stay healthy.
Yeah.
Sean Ryan, you would think, would get better.
With an entire offseason.
Belton showed enough. He showed potential where you think he would get better. And then hopefully Zach Tom's patella tendon is not a problem.
Yeah, that's still...
Which then bumps them up to 14-12, which is not great, but it's fine.
It kind of feels like, and I said this to Jason before we went on air, when I didn't tell him the ranking, I just said they weren't ranked well. I said it kind of feels like the Packers are trying to hit a runner straight to a degree. They need the left tackle, left guard, center, and right guard to all take steps forward and form into... And I would feel good about betting on two of them.
Well, by the way, while then relying upon hopefully the knee injury isn't too devastating to your right tackle.
Right. That's an extra addition to that. Like, I think they're pretty confident in the guys they have, but not every player gets better. Sometimes they get worse. We've seen it happen.
Oh, true. I'm sure you played with guys who got worse.
I don't understand the Aaron Banks thing, paying him $42 million
in
2 years. That's just stupid. And you know what? And I'll just say this. Elgton Jenkins is going to have a better year than him. Elgton Jenkins is a... I mean, if you're signing Williams in San Francisco for $25 million a year, Elgton signed for what in Cleveland? 10?
Yeah, but he's
would
also...
Would you take Elgton Jenkins at left guard right now over Aaron Banks?
But Cleveland's also going to play Elgton at center.
Well, that's stupid. I would not do that. I would take Elgton Jenkins at left guard right now over Aaron Banks.
I'm just telling you that they brought in Elgton Jenkins to play center.
And that's why they go 3-4.
That's...
And I've told you a number of times, Gibbs, there's a lot of stupid coaches in the league.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of dumb coaches.
But it's... Yeah, the Aaron Banks thing, because usually the modus operandi, the MO of the Packers, and I think a lot of really good GMs, to give yourself outs in some of these contracts. Mm-hmm. And they had an out in the Aaron Banks contract, and instead they doubled down on it. That's the interesting thing, because they could have just, they had other levers to pull this offseason that I, for whatever reason, they didn't want to pull. To open up money, and they decided to pull the Aaron Banks one and lock him to being your left guard for the next two seasons.
Yeah, but how bad would Goody have looked if he got rid of Hobbs and he got rid of Banks? He would look foolish. So he's got to kind of save face.
Does he look foolish? A lot of times
they hold on to guys that they should not hold on to.
Yeah, I understand that. We've had that conversation, but I guess what would Ron do? Like, you have been my guiding principle on that. What would Ron do? I don't think it's foolish to admit you made a mistake.
Here's the thing,
Chu. I guess my thing with Aaron Banks is, because you definitely have questions along the offensive line, and cutting him wouldn't have opened up money to go get a replacement. You didn't have to do anything. You could have just let it ride and then not be locked in for the next 2 years, and then you'd have an out after the end of this year if it didn't work out for you. You know what I'm saying?
You didn't have to do anything with Aaron Banks
other than just keep him this year and see how it plays out instead of locking yourself in for two more seasons.
But, Gabe, look what Ron did with Marco Rivera and Mike Wall.
Yeah.
He let them both go. He's like, no, not paying you. I'll just – and you know why that is? Because look at the line we won the Super Bowl with.
You're so inconsistent.
One Pro Bowl player on there.
You're so inconsistent. I hate
there
this.
Wasn't one.
Yeah, I understand.
But they were a great unit and yet, that stayed healthy and played together, and we dominated.
And yet, who are you sitting here standing for? Somebody who was worse than Marco.
Who?
Doesn't even remember.
Welcome to the program, Chewy.
Rasheed Walker is not as good of a player as Marco was.
He's better than Bruce.
That's not true. Bruce won a Super Bowl.
Yes, he is.
Bruce won a Super Bowl.
And probably had
the best play of the Super Bowl.
In the cojones, which was really funny. After the fact, but not at the time.
Yeah, we don't have any great Rasheed Walker stories. How many? We've got countless great Bruce Wilkerson stories, thanks to you.
Yeah, we do.
So he's got that. He's got that over Rasheed for sure. Craving big, bold flavor? Then get excited because Screamin' Sicilian Original and Thin and Crispy Pizzas are buy one, get one at Pick and Save in Metro Market. That means twice the pizza, twice the attitude, and twice the flavor you love. We're talking buttery, stone-fired crust on the original, and seriously crispy, thin and crispy crust. And of course, because it's Screamin' Sicilian, it's by Palermo's, they're going to have loads of toppings, whole milk mozzarella, and that unapologetically bold Screamin' Sicilian flavor. It's the perfect excuse to stock up. Share, or, you know, you don't have to share if you don't want to. Because remember, more toppings, more flavor, more is amore. But don't wait. Buy one, get one at Pick and Save in Metro Market. It ends today. So get there. Go to Pick and Save. Go to Metro Market. Get buy one, get one on Screamin' Sicilian Original and Thin and Crispy Pizzas. Run to the freezer aisle while this lasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How do you get to 10 in NFL in the football game? How do you do that?
You can have 5 safeties.
That's a great point.
Which would also be a great endorsement for Derek Carr.
2 field goals, 2 safeties.
2 field goals, 2 safeties.
Also a great endorsement for the quarterback. Continue. Yes. What else do we have?
On 94.5 ESPN.
There was a little bit of Bucks breaking news yesterday, Chew, as our friends over the Athletic, including Eric Name, along with Sam Amick, reporting the Bucks flew into Memphis to meet with Taylor Jenkins, who is expected to be one of the top head coaches in this NBA hiring cycle. Seems, again, just based on the way the story reads, that, you know, they're going to have a second conversation, and there's no deal in place. Contract figures have not been discussed, but they're going to be meeting again soon. It seems like this is the Bucks' top target. And they want him to be the guy. Because this is the one guy, Chew, that of the names I've seen out there, he can be your head coach whether or not Giannis is here or not. I think you feel good about him either way.
You think he takes the job without Giannis or he waits for another team?
Well, so that's the thing. Like, if the Bucks, if I'm the Bucks, I'm being aggressive and I'm putting it on him. Like, waiting to see. He's been linked to the Orlando job because the Magic have been disappointing this year, although the Magic won their first playoff game. So that series is at least going to go 5 games now, or more than likely going to go 5 games because I don't think the Pistons are going to get swept. But, you know, so if that series kind of drags out and Orlando performs better, maybe they don't fire their coach. You know, so I think you kind of put it on him of, okay, do you want to take the risk of waiting? Or you've been out of coaching for a year. Do you want to secure yourself a head coaching job?
I mean, if I was him, I'd consider it if I was on the Jeff Hafley deal, which says, hey, you cannot give me or 2 years. This is going to take me 3 years to turn around here, so you have to be patient.
I think
even with Giannis, yes. I mean, even with Giannis, I think you got to be patient because
they were pretty patient with Doc.
But the players around him now clearly didn't work.
Yeah.
So there is still a rebuild to be done, even if Giannis comes back. So
we dive into all things Milwaukee Brewers. Our weekly conversation with the voice of the Brewers, Jeff Lever, is next.